James chapter 1. The Bible will be very, very beneficial to you this morning. I'm going to begin reading with verse 18 in James 1, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. James 1, verse 18. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. All right. James 1:18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The structure of the book of James is a remarkable thing. Remarkable how that one subject builds on the previous. In chapter 1 and verse 1, after introducing himself, James begins his message. And in James chapter 1, verses 2 through verse 12, James talks about the certainty of trials that come into the life of Christians. He's talking about these outward trials that every Christian must face in his or her life. These trials that come to test our faith in God. These things in life that we must deal with, but these things which come to us in order to prove and to improve our faith in God. These trials may be things like suffering, things like pain, things like heartbreak, disappointment, and discouragement that comes into our lives. And in verses 2 through 12, James says that these things will be a certainty in your life if you are a Christian. Then in verses 13 through 17, James talks about the certainty of temptation that comes into the life of a Christian. These things that are in our lives that try to entice us or that try to seduce us into sin. James says that these temptations will come into the lives of every Christian. Now, brethren, watch the structure here. After telling us that having to deal with trials that will test our faith, after telling us that these things are a reality in our lives, and then after instructing us that as Christians we're going to have to deal with temptation and deal with the devil and deal with our own self with these things, and telling us that these things are also a reality in our lives, James then says, in the passage we just read through the rest of chapter 1, that God's answer for you and I dealing with the trials and the temptations of life, God's answer for that is His Word. His Word. Now, brethren, listen. Yes, trials are going to be a reality, and your faith and my faith will be tested. And yes, temptation will be a reality, and you and I must deal with it. But thank God, God has not left us out here to struggle through these things alone, but God has given us His Word, and with this Word, you and I can deal with the trials and the temptations of life. So listen carefully. The Bible is the standard by which you and I must view all of life. If you and I, as God's people, if we're going to live victorious over the trials that come our way, and if you and I are going to live victorious over the temptations that we must deal with, the only way we're going to do that is that you and I must embrace this book. Because without this, your trials are going to take your faith away. And without this, you're going to become a casualty on the battlefield against the evil one. This is God's answer for you and I in this life to deal with trials and temptations. So in this passage in James 1 that we just read, there are two thoughts that I want to share with you. First of all, James talks in this passage about what our responsibility is to the Word of God. Now, yes, this book is the answer for us to survive the trials and temptations. But on the same point, you and I have a responsibility to this book. And brethren, it is only when you and I will meet our responsibility to this book that this book will deliver us from what life hands us. So number one, our responsibility to the Word of God. And in this passage, James sets forth a fivefold responsibility that you and I have toward this book so that this book can help us to deal with all of our lives. The first responsibility we have to the Word of God is that James says we must prepare our hearts to receive it. we must prepare our hearts to receive it. Now, how does one do that? Look at verse number 21 now. Verse 21. Therefore, get rid, that is, put off, get away from you, get rid, put off all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Now, why are you putting it off? Why are you getting rid of it? So that you can humbly accept the word that's planted in you. Now, listen carefully. The very first thing that we must do is we must get rid of some things that are in our lives in order to prepare our hearts to accept what that book says. Let me say that again. The very first thing we must do is we must get rid of, we must shed from our hearts certain things in order to prepare our hearts to receive this book. Now, you're holding James 1, but I want you to turn back to Colossians chapter 3, because in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul addresses the same topic here. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 8, listen to how Paul deals with exactly the same thought. Colossians 3:8. But now you must rid yourselves, that is, take off, get rid of, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, Paul, what are you saying? Paul is saying, listen, there are some things that you must put off from yourself before the new person in Christ can take root. The very first responsibility that we have to this book is we must prepare our hearts to accept what this book says. Now go back to James 1 and watch the wording here. Go back to James 1 and watch the wording. Toward the end of verse number 21, he says, accept. Now watch the wording. The word planted in you. Do you see the expression? The word planted in you. Now, where does this expression come from? This expression comes from the Sermon on the Mount. This expression comes from when Jesus told the parable in Matthew, the 13th chapter. He says, behold, a sower went forth to sow seed. And he said, some seed fell in the pathway where the ground was hard. And other seed fell into rocky places and others into thorny places. And then some of the seed went into the good soil and it took root and it grew. When he told the parable of the sower, the apostles, they were confused. They said, Lord, what are you talking about? And so Jesus interprets the parable. And this is what he said in Matthew 13. He says that the seed is the word of God. This is the seed. And he said the different soils represent the different hearts of people who listen to the word. word is a seed that must be planted in our hearts in order to produce a fruit. But I want you to understand that the seed is absolutely useless without the cooperation of the soil. Unless the soil is willing to cooperate with the seed can do nothing without that soil. Now, what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that pure and real Christianity must first change us from the inside and then outside. Our responsibility to the Word of God is to first prepare our hearts to receive what it says to us. Let me illustrate. If you go out in your backyard, along your fence line, next to your garage, wherever you do this stuff, and if you plant a garden, you don't walk out there and take the seed and just throw it. Before you plant the seed, there's something you have to do. You have to prepare the soil. You hear me? So what does that mean? That means you got to take all the rocks out of the soil, and you got to take all the bottle and all the debris out of the soil. And then when you prepare the soil, it's then and only then that you can plant the seed in the prepared soil and expect to get something out of it. This book is God's seed. Your heart is the soil that this seed must penetrate, but unless you prepare your heart, unless you prepare your soil, this book cannot help you. So what is your responsibility and what is mine? First of all, our responsibility is to prepare our hearts that we can receive this. Number two. The second responsibility that we have to the Word of God is that we must listen to it. We must listen to it. Look at verse number 19, James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We need to be quick to listen. The word quick there literally means eager, anxious. You know how your wife wants to tell you something. Okay, tell me. But she wants to tell you everything about, you know what, just tell me what it is, tell me. Oh, but then she wants to go back to last spring and bring it out. You know, just, and so you have this eagerness, this anxiousness, amen? Oh, come on, man, don't be afraid, that afraid of her. Say amen. Yeah. Just tell me. Now listen carefully. Here's James's point in verse 19. When he says, let everybody be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Here's his point. James is telling those Christians, don't you allow yourself to take up the mood of your society. Because the mood of society is that everybody is talking and nobody is listening. The thing that devastates relationships is that in relationships, everybody wants to talk, but nobody wants to listen to the other. And so what James is saying, he's saying, look, as Christians, do not allow yourself to take up the character of the society of which you are a part of. So we must prepare our hearts to receive the word. But then secondly, we must be willing to listen to the word. Our third responsibility to the word of God. Our third responsibility is we must humbly then accept. We must humbly receive it. Go back to verse 21 again. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. Now, here's why you're doing it. And humbly accept, that is, humbly receive the word. Now, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility, if this word is to help me to deal with the trials and temptation that are certainly coming into my life, I must meet a responsibility to the book. My responsibility is to prepare my heart by getting stuff out of my heart that shouldn't be there. And after I have rid my heart of those things, I must then listen to what the Word of God is telling me. And then my third responsibility is that I must humbly receive what the Word is saying. Listen, the purpose of Bible study, is so that we can understand what the will of God is and then add it and do it in our lives. And I want you to understand this. There is great power in receiving the word. Great power. Paul said in Romans 1 and in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The word power in Romans 1:16 is the word dynamo, which we translate to English word dynamite. What is he saying? Paul is saying that this word is God's dynamite. But it's useless if you don't receive it. It's useless if you don't receive it. Jeremiah chapter 32 and in verse 33, one of the great statements in the Old Testament, and God made it. God told those people in Jeremiah 32, 33, he says, I have talked and I have talked and I've talked and I've talked, but you won't receive what I'm saying. And that's the problem with a lot of people. Brethren, are you listening? You gotta make this click. You are going to deal in your life with things that are going to test your faith. Whether it comes through pain, whether it comes through illness, whether it comes through tragedy or heartbreak, but you are gonna deal with things that are going to test the genuineness of what you do on Sunday. You are going to have to deal with temptation in your life because the devil is going to continue to tap you on the shoulder to entice you to walk away from God. And if you think you're going to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and deal with all this, you're wrong. So God says, I'm going to help you. And so he give us his word. But this word is useless until we're willing to meet our responsibility to this word. So what is that responsibility? We must prepare our hearts. I got to get out of my heart what shouldn't be there. I've got to prepare this soil so the seed can take root in it. Then I must listen. I must listen to it. What is it saying? Then I must humbly receive it, and you're not going to receive it without humility. The fourth responsibility James says we have toward the word is then to do what it says. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, brethren, hear this. It is possible to listen to the word and not have it change your inner life. In Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus concludes the sermon by saying that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is likened unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew, the house stood because it was founded on a rock. Jesus says, but whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does not do them, he's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And when the rains came and the winds blew and the floods descended, his house fell and great was the fall of it. Now listen, what is Jesus talking about? Rain falling, wind blowing. He's talking about the trials and the things that we deal with in life. And the only way you're going to survive it is you have to do more than just prepare your heart for the word. You have to do more than just listen. You have to do more than receive it. You must then do what it says to do, because if you don't do, great will be the fall of your life. Now let me show you something. In verse 22, he says, do not merely listen. You see that? Do not merely listen. When you go to college, you can do one of two things. You can take a class for credit, which means you got to take all the notes, do all the homework, take all the tests, and take the final. Or you can audit the class. Now, if you audit the class, you don't have to take any of the tests, you don't have to write down any of the lectures, you don't have to take any of the notes, you don't have to do any of that. You can walk into class. You can sit down, you can listen to the lecture, you can get up, you can walk out of the classroom and have absolutely no responsibility or obligation about what you heard in that classroom. When I went to college, I worked at the college and then took class. But then I would also go in and just sit in on classes. So I'd go in there and sit, and kids, they're writing and doing, and I'm like, man, what are you guys all nervous about? Because I was just in there listening. I was just in there listening. Listen to me. There are too many Christians who are just auditing Christianity. They're auditing Christianity. Look what he says in verse 24. Verse 24. And after looking at himself, he goes away and he immediately forgets what he looks like. You know what James is talking about? James is talking about the hypocrite who goes to church and he sits down and he listens to everything that's said. He nods in agreement with everything that's said. The service ends. He walks out the front door and feels absolutely no obligation or no inkling to change anything in his life. We must do what it says. Our fifth responsibility. In verse 25, James says, we must then, when we begin to do, we must continue in the word. Look at verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. Now, one of the ways that we continue in the Word of God is by doing what he says in verse 27 when he says we need to look after the orphans and the widows, and he says we need to keep ourselves unpolluted from the world. Now, I can't blow past this. James says that in order to continue in the Word, he says you must give attention to orphans and widows. Orphans and widows. The reason James used those two groups is because orphans and widows were the two groups that were most vulnerable in the ancient world. Those were the two groups of people in the ancient world who had no one to care for them but themselves. The significance of a woman in the ancient world is whoever she married. And if her husband died, her meal was gone. It was gone. She was just on her own. And in the Roman world, when a child was born, a father had a period of time where the father decided whether or not we're going to keep this child. And if the father decided we're not going to keep this child, they just throw it out. And then James says we have to keep ourselves unpolluted from the world. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't you allow the world to brainwash you. Don't allow the world to brainwash you. Look at the end of verse 27 quickly. I know I'm out of time and I'm trying, okay? Look at the end of verse 27. He says to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I want you to underline the word world. You know what the word world there means? The word world in that verse means society organizing itself without God. What's going on outside that front door is that out there in that world, we have a society that's trying to organize itself without God, and that is why it's a mess. And that's why it will stay a mess till God gets involved in it and they let him in. So what are we talking about? And we're done. I can't do the other point. Listen to me. Listen to me. James says, as a Christian, your faith's going to be tested. Your life will be flipped upside down. James says, as a Christian, you're going to be tempted.
And these trials and temptations are going to be real. But then James says, listen, God has got an answer that will help you to deal with all that life gives you. And that answer is the Word. And all you have to do, all I have to do, is we have to meet our responsibility to the Word. And if we'll meet our responsibility, God says, hey, here's the answer.
So prepare your heart for this. So I got to rid my heart of all this garbage. This has got to go. You can't plant the spiritual Word on top of hate and prejudice and vengeance and all that garbage. This is not going to stay there. So you prepare your heart. You listen to what it says. Well, I think, doesn't matter what you think. That's what's wrong with you now, you doing the thinking. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. Then humbly accept it. Humbly receive it. Then obey what it says. I'm going to do this. And then continue to do it. And if you do it, that book will get you through. That book will get you through. And the reason that trials take us away, and the reason we allow temptation to pull us away, is because we haven't strengthened our faith through this book. So trials are going to be real. You already know that. You're sitting on a pocket full of them. Temptation is real. But God's Word is the answer. Paul said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen to what he says about it. He says, and this is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good work. This will get you where you need to be. But you got to meet your responsibility. You got to meet your responsibility. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, you need to receive with meekness this word. Repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you're away from God, you need to come back. You need to come back. This is the answer. But you have to step up. If you're here, if you need to respond, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.